reliving my days of my supple and lithe youth. Stop laughing, please, Alex Newton, who's here, the Beeston chiropractor. I sort of harken back to my younger days because we have to face the facts. We're all getting a bit older. Now, one of the things that happens as you get older, you start getting really involved in gardening. I think it, you know, it comes on a bit
more. It's a time thing, isn't it? Yeah. You're supposed to have more time. I can't wait till I retire so that I can have my own vegetable plot and things like that. I just can't wait.
But the world is not fair, is it? Because when we have the time to go gardening, so our body is saying, be careful.
Yeah, too
be careful with your bending and stretching. What sort of problems do you see from people who are over-enthusiastic in the garden?
Well, we've always got this pressure on ourselves, haven't we? Because there's never enough time to do anything. And therefore, we set ourselves quite unrealistic goals. And the problem there is that you expect to do more than you actually should be doing. And if you say, right, I've got a project to do today and I've only got today to do it, I've only got this morning to do it, then you go sort of hell for leather at it. And what we realise is, particularly if we've had quite a sedentary winter and not been doing very much, we're starting to strain and stretch joints, which are held together by ligaments, which are like little elastic bands. And once we overstart stretching those elastic bands, we create a little bit of muscle spasm, which can cause all sorts of problems if you go at things too energetically in the early stages.
Right. We'll talk more specifically about gardening in a moment. This idea of ligaments and muscles, can you explain a bit more about the relationship? Are they the yin and yang of movement, muscles and...
No, not at all. Two different structures altogether.
Well, but I thought a muscle contracted and a ligament stretched or something.
Right. So ligaments hold joints together. Mm. So they're the elastic bands around the joints, and the muscles move the joints, and the tendons are the part of the muscle that attach the muscle onto the bone over the joints. So they have completely different properties, but they all have to work together. And you get overuse of muscles when you've got laxity of the ligaments. So as I say, ligaments are very elastic based, and like any elastic, if you overstretch that elastic, it doesn't have its holding properties. So particularly with knees, we see this quite a lot, is that a lot of skiers or football injuries over the past, people have overstretched and strained those ligaments without having enough muscle tone over the joint to stabilise the joint. What can happen is those poor ligaments get overstretched and you lose the ability to stabilise the joint. And then that obviously in turn can lead to wear of the joint, which ultimately can be your arthritic joint, which will ultimately lead to, you know, joint knee replacements and hip replacements and things. So,
it's
a catalogue of events. Yeah. So to be warned away from in the early stages, and prevention is obviously much better.
So when people come to you and they say, I think I've pulled a muscle in my back, is it more often the case that they've strained a ligament then?
Well, there you go, you have the combination, because as I said earlier, you know, often once you strain the ligaments, then the muscle will react to that by going into spasm to try and protect it. So often we see muscle spasm as a reactive sign to a joint that may have been sprained prior to that. So it's the body's neurological response to a stressed joint by getting a muscle spasm to protect it. And this is sometimes we see people sort of, oh, my muscle's gone into spasm. They may go and have a massage or allow their partner to massage them. It feels great at the time, but then they get up and off the table from being massaged and everything literally falls apart, because the muscle spasm becomes the scaffolding to support an irritated joint. So you take that muscle spasm away, which is, say, a neurological protective response, you will find that the joint will be more irritated, and then we see some quite catastrophic events after that, and then they sort of crawl to our door and we have to sort of reapply and realign everything and calm those muscles down, reprogram those muscles, because the muscles will relax once the joint is being much more supported, and the neurological stimulation won't be going back to the brain to say, you know, you've got to protect this area.
Right.
So it is quite clever stuff
that you do. Yes.
That the body does. Oh, we just have to work with the body to encourage it to do what it's supposed to do.
I think it is interesting what you can do, because you will know, we've talked about this both on air and when the records have been playing, when you've been, and I was only thinking about it this morning, so it's just over a year since it last happened. The lower part of my back just sort of locks up and I end up only able to walk like Groucho Marx for about a week or so. And it's uncomfortable, unpleasant, And this is my body saying, I want you to be in this position while I repair myself, is it?
That's right, yeah. It's protective.
It's
That's
been
right.
protective.
See, a lot of people, what they call antalgia, when they're sort of tilted over to the side or forward, they can't straighten up, they can't stand up straight, they have this sort of duck posture, or, as you say, it's almost impossible to walk without your bottom sticking out of the back.
Mm.
That's the body's way of saying, you know, back off, you're doing something wrong. Of course, then what we go and do is fill ourselves up with lots of painkillers and anti-inflammatories, which override a lot of that and try and continue. So be warned. Mm.
That is a thing that I don't do, but for that very reason. I kind of feel I want to know where it hurts because that's going to help me get better. But that's just the way I view it. But although I've not been attended by you, I have been worked on by somebody who's a bit like you. And within sort of one half-hour session, I'd gone from walking like Groucho Marx to walking not unlike Alan Clifford. And it was a remarkable change that they brought about.
Yeah, he's reprogrammed, reset, pressed your reset button. Mm. That's what we tend to do, is reduce the or remove the irritant, realign the joints. And then as a result of that, by certain types of manipulation of the joints, you actually have what we call a stretch reflex actually happens when we actually click the joint or thrust through the joint, and that resets the muscle itself and allows the muscle to go back into the normal tone. And it also resets the proprioceptors, which are like little sensors within inside the joint that tell you whether what the joint's doing and where the joint is in space. So it's literally like pressing the reset button, and then the body can start working itself and doing its the stuff that it's supposed to do once we press that button. So we're just resetters, really. Bone setters, as they call us. But
you know how to switch it off and on again, really.
We try, yes.
Well, it is gardening as a theme for today's talk with Alex, the Beeston chiropractor. So we'll talk about some of the things you can do to ensure that you don't trouble yourself whilst gardening, some of the things you shouldn't do when you're out in the garden, maybe some manoeuvres that you should not do for fear of the long-term damage you might be doing after this. And that was the Bangles and Eternal Flame. Les and I are having a little bit of a chat about times gone past and nightclubs in Birmingham, and I was talking about the lights in the dome. Oh, the lights. Oh, they were very dramatic, though. They had a big sort of light show that they used to do in the disco that was the dome in Birmingham. Les says, yes, I remember them well, but I used to get headaches from them. It didn't stop me from dancing the night away till the early hours. Nowadays, I'll be lucky to stay up past 10 o'clock at night, says Les. And I know that feeling as well. That's a weird thing. The going to bed early bit as you get older. We're musing on some of the problems of getting old. The joy of having time to go into the garden, for example, and the annoyance of getting out in the garden and then pulling something, and I don't mean a weed, and feeling like you've got a bad back for the rest of the week. And that's because Alex Newton is here, the Beeston chiropractor. Thought we could talk about gardening. I think we've laid the foundations here. We've dug the bed over and explained that some of the problems that can come if you do it wrong. What about doing it right? What's the right way to go about gardening, Alex?
Well, I think, as I said earlier, you need to plan your day. You need to make sure that you're not going to do one job. So pick three or four jobs. Different postures, different poses, a little bit of pruning, a little bit of stretching, bending, digging, kneeling, so that you're doing different postures. And every 20 minutes, half an hour or so, probably change that posture so that you're doing lots of little jobs rather than trying to say, right, I'm going to do 4 hours of digging. Try and make sure that you, if you are doing a little bit of digging or sweeping or raking, that you do three or four pulls to one side and then twist round and do it the other side. It's all a bit like tapping your head and massaging your tummy, but it does our brains good to actually work both left and right sides of our brain, and functionally it's better for your body tone and posture. So three rakes to the right, three rakes to the left, etc. Having a look at your tools is always good. If you can have these long handle tools so that you've got your hoe and your little garden fork on the end of a long stick rather than a short stick, so you don't have to bend down. And making sure your spade and fork are perhaps not too big, so that you're not trying to lift heavy lumps of soil and things around the garden. Make sure that the loads are relatively light. Keep stuff close to your body when you're transporting it from A to B. Make sure you've got your legs straight, knees bent, and as you lift up, keep something very close to your body. Realise what your limits are. So don't try and lift things that are too heavy for you. Try and get a friend or a fellow gardener, if you're down at the allotment, to give you a lift with that. you know, just keep that core nice and strong, keep the back hollow, keep the pelvis nice and toned up, keep your tummy button squashed to the small of your back. If you've got to kneel down on one leg rather than stooping for long periods of time, because then you've got a 50-50, you can alternate to the other knee as well. So that's always quite useful as well.
Yeah. And one of the things that you remind me to say from my experience about, you know your limits, and this my personal experience, I bought a big bag of compost once because I felt it was cheaper to buy a double-sized bag. I paid for it in the fact that it laid me low, my old back problem, because I tried to lift it and it was too heavy. And so subsequently, I've now found a place that sells much smaller bags of compost. They're only marginally more expensive. And I'd much rather have five or six small bags of compost to move out of the car than one very big one.
Yeah. We have, yes, we have talked about this before, haven't we? Yeah. So if you do go for that bargain bag and have someone hopefully help you lift it into the car, it's getting it out of the trolley, I always find, and then into the car, especially if you've got a bit of a lip on the back. Take your wheelbarrow to the boot of your car and unload it at half at a time or a third at a time. You know, think outside the box. Don't think you've got to shift it from A to B. But yeah, do realise your limits there.
Because a wheelbarrow is a temptation to overload, isn't it? You keep on going and I'll go another bit more in that, I'll give another bit more in that, and then you try to move it.
And half of it falls out anyway, so you sort of think, well, actually, I've still got to shovel that up again. So, again, realise your limits, keep that core strong, keep your back nice and straight, pull that tummy button to your spine and bend those knees and, you know, brace yourself as you're doing it. But it's quite nice to sort of warm up before you start as well. But don't do too much stretching. We don't want to stretch the joints too much because we don't want the joints to be loose. So just getting yourself warm, perhaps doing some side bends and twists and that sort of thing. Often it's the combined movement that tends to cause the problem and catch people out. So lifting and bending and twisting at the same time is really what you want to avoid. So try and keep your pelvis and your shoulders in line, straight onto the object that you're going to lift or bend forward onto, so that you're not doing that combined movement. Think about what you're doing. Be mindful of what you're doing. Yeah. It's the distraction when you lift and pull when you're talking to the neighbour over the hedge or something like that.
It is that time when you know you spend a lot of your time in the garden following all of these rules and you're doing very, very well, and just you think, right, well, I'm done for the day now. I'm going to go in and have a lovely cup of tea, and you turn around and you see something that you've missed, and that's the point where you bend down incorrectly, give it a tug, and you've got to stop yourself doing the stupid thing.
Yes, I had a lady last year who was probably sort of like a little bit like this, the March winds, and she was at the allotment and reached and grabbed for a sheet of plastic that was about to blow away, twisted her back, and when in hindsight, you know, she had to have half a dozen sessions or so to get that. She ruptured a disc in her spine, and you know, it was very, for the sake of the cost of letting that piece of plastic fly away, it would be much cheaper to replace the plastic than to have a course of treatment and the suffering that went along with that. So, you know, it is those incidences that you know, and falls and things like that. You know, be careful where you're walking and make sure you've got the correct footwear on and things like that. You know, tripping over things and falling. We see probably more of that. And as you said, the incidental incidences that take you by surprise rather than people actually being very sensible about what they're doing.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit more about painkillers and their use or not in a moment with you. It's Alan Clifford on BBC Radio Nottingham. Alex Newton, the Beeston chiropractor, dispensing good advice today, hoping to keep you moving and pain-free. We'll look at painkillers in a moment. One more thing on gardening, and I suppose this is all sorts of different activities, really. If you do get yourself a bit stuck, you've bent over and you can't stand up easily, what's the best thing to do?
Well, the key is actually not to try and stand up. Go with the flow. Oh. So I have a lot of people who say, you know, it took me an hour to get from the garage back into the house after I picked a bolt up off the floor, but because they bent and twisted badly, like we discussed earlier. Once you're there and you feel that you can't straighten up, the joints have perhaps jammed, or the ligaments have strained, or the muscles have gone into spasm, as we discussed earlier. Don't try and stand up. Go down onto all fours and crawl if you have to get back into the house. But just spending a few minutes either when you're in the garage or in the garden, and go onto all fours and do that sort of, the cat back is quite a good one. It's a typical yoga type of pose where you're on all fours and then you sort of gently arch the back and hollow the back and see if you can get things sort of just trying to move a little bit more. But don't try and weight bear. Don't try and go up vertically upright, because that's where the most amount of pressure goes on the back. So try and crawl to wherever you can. Get your colleague or friend or partner to get you an ice pack or some frozen peas. Make sure it's wrapped in a tea towel, and place that on the back for about 10 to 15 minutes, no longer. And then do a few more exercises if you can, a bit of mobilization, sort of pelvic tilts again. Try and lie on your back with your knees bent, rocking and moving the pelvis around. Bring your knees up to your chest, things like that, to try and just keep things moving a little bit to stop them seizing up. And then an hour or so later, put the ice pack on again. And it's important that you use the ice short periods of time and frequently, rather than putting on for long periods of time until it defrosts, because what happens is you get constriction of the blood vessels, which reduces the inflammation and takes the blood away from the area. But as you take the ice pack off, you get a flushing and flooding of blood through the area to help pump the inflammation away. So you're actually creating a pump mechanism on, off.
Taking
on,
it off is as important as putting it on.
15 minutes on, an hour off.
That's
really
interesting.
Important.
I saw a tweet a while ago on social media. Somebody had hurt themselves and they'd used a bag of frozen peas, and their picture was of the peas saying, I'm going to have to throw these away now because they've all thawed out, but at least I feel better. And I thought, I think maybe you've had them on a bit long there. You wouldn't really want you wouldn't have it on you so much that the peas thaw out, would you?
No, I wouldn't. But what I tend to do is write on them and say my back peas,
put
them in the freezer and use them next time.
Okay.
And they'll freeze up as long as you knock them about, so they're all
so
sort of little beads.
If they have
but
thawed
have,
out.
Yeah, if someone did find a packet of small frozen peas in the bottom of their freezer and ate them for dinner, and the partner was quite cross because they were my back peas, he said, and they'd eaten. They were a bit tough after having them half a dozen times on the back over a number of years. So beware. Don't eat hard peas. Yeah.
Back peas. I like that. Let's just talk a very little bit more about painkillers, because I blithely stated earlier on, when my back goes a bit funny, I don't like to take painkillers. I struggle through the pain. That is clearly because it's not so chronic that I need painkillers. You understand as a chiropractor there are times when such things are needed.
Yes. For patients to be able to move forward when they've got chronic pains like that, we really have to be quite supportive of their request to that. Now, you must remember that chiropractors and a lot of other manual therapists don't have prescription rights. So we're not allowed to tell people to stop taking prescribed medicines, and we're not allowed to prescribe medicines ourselves. So really, it's the patient's discretion. But we can encourage and support patients when they are suffering from severe pain, and particularly if they can't sleep at night. That's always a real big issue. Sleeping is really paramount to the healing process. And if you can get between 5 and 6 hours sleep during the night, an uninterrupted sleep by pain, then you've got a better chance of things healing. So there is a call for painkillers, and we do encourage patients to use those at times. Unfortunately, in this day and age, a lot of people have to still keep going to work and can't afford to have time away from work. So, you know, they need to take them. It is an abuse of them, for want of a better word, to take them to get them to go through to work and to carry on with a manual job to get through the day. But if you encourage people to sort of, with other things as well, with the exercises and using the ice pack and being careful with their posture and how they're lifting and bending, then there's lots of support there. So you've just got to bite the bullet a little bit, and people do have to get to desperate measures and use them. There is call for them at times.
Thank you, as always, Alex Newton, Beeston Chiropractor. We'll see you again in a few weeks.
Thank you.
See where the conversation takes us then. And hopefully everyone listening will have a few more days of painless gardening.